Elizabeth, not to put too fine a point on it, but in the lexicon that Hoffman just circulated from IETF, there is a specific note discouraging the use of the phrase multilingual and stating a preference for the use of internationalized.
Thank you very much for pointing it out. It was Pat Kane speaking?
No, I think it was Michael.
Oh, Michael, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I will make a lot of mistakes before I get to your voice. Well, it is 12 past past the hour. Well, I would suggest we begin, and I don't know how to I put on the first item on the agenda. The presentation from Singapore, because I believe that this presentation wanted something V wanted to browse some perspective on good understanding what is international domain name, what is language, what is script, about interoperability, etc. But he's not on the call. And then, Mark, would you mind please start yourself and report, teach us, well, at least some of us, I certainly not the the engineers and scientists from VeriSign, but some of us, about IETF IDN working group, about IETF work progress.
Okay, and then probably some of the guys from VeriSign knows all this, but anyway.
Yes, it is exactly what I meant, what I mean, telling that not everybody will learn, but a lot of us as well.
Well, I'll, you know, I haven't prepared any slide, but we'll, you know, tell me more, ask me more if you need. So essentially, we've been working on that idea that came from a presentation that James Tseng and Tin Tan Hui did 2 years and a half ago in INET 9, and I essentially went to James saying, you should go through that with inside the ITF because it looks like the way to go, because I was also searching for a solution to that problem. So after some time, we had a consensus to the basic architecture, which is documented as essentially three documents. And in your report, in one of the mailing lists you sent Elizabeth, there was a missing document, which is called the name prep or string prep, but we actually changed name. But so essentially, what we do is an application-based processing, meaning that the user will type in whatever language and script is the main name, and the application will do some processing on this name. And the processing being, you know, described in the documents. And essentially convert it at the last step to an ASCII representation, meaning that the domain name will be sent to DNS resolution, to DNS infrastructure as an ASCII domain name. And this ASCII domain name will look like gibberish, meaning that it's a series of characters that doesn't make sense based on the input that the user did, in the sense that the user did in his own script and language, but the actual ASCII representation is something which he can't actually make by himself the correspondence. So this ASCII representation, which is a series of ASCII characters, is sent to DNS resolution and gets the actual answer, meaning an IP address or something else. So it's all at the application level that we do the processing. So the impact is that the DNS infrastructure by itself is not aware of IDN. We don't need to change the DNS servers. We don't need to change the root servers or whatever. There is nothing to do in this context. The registries and most the registrars will have to modify their registration application to enable to check and do some of this processing I told and verify and check and things like that. So the registry and the registrars will have to modify their registration application. But in fact, the zone file itself, the data, they don't need a special version of a DNS server to enable that that feature. However, the users, since it's an application-based processing, the users will have to upgrade their internet application to see the right glyphs and you know type them and see the output. So it's a layer it's a presentation layer in some ways for the domain names. If one do not upgrade, because we will not be able to upgrade the full internet applications all over the place in overnight, we will live with probably many years of non-upgraded applications that will receive those domain names, those IDN. And in fact, it will work, meaning that they will not crash or something like that. But the users will that have a non-upgraded application will see the domain names as, you know, the gibberish version with all the bizarre characters. But it will work if the, in general case, it will work. It may have some, some issues, but in general it will work, meaning that there's no crash or something expected. So the basic architecture that the working group is essentially the consensus is on the basic architecture. It's fairly the I would say the last versions of the documents are mostly essentially done, ready to forward for the ISG or the working group last call. So we are currently discussing on a few additional steps in the architecture related to optimization and for Asian languages and some handling of the Chinese language. So this is possible additional steps that are currently being discussed. So the next steps for us is trying to reach consensus on the remaining items. Hopefully we will try to do that, to reach that consensus in the Salt Lake City ITF, which is a week from now. And if we reach consensus, then we will essentially validate on mailing list as we do always. And if, you know, everything works fine, then we issue working group last calls on those documents and resolve issues if there's any left. And then if everything works fine, we'll go and send those documents to the ISG and then receive comments and resolve issues from the ISG. And the ISG will probably send an ITF-wide last call, so all ITFers will have an opportunity to make their comments and then resolve issues. With all that process, if everything goes fine, then we will publish the documents as RFCs with the help of the RFC editor. And at this time, we will choose a prefix. That's the current, thinking, because, the application needs to know when the domain name is actually an IDN or not, or actually a label, because you have to understand that each label being something between two dots, could be internationalized, and the other part can be non-internationalized and vice versa. So in fact, the technology we're developing can be used for any or all levels of a domain name, meaning that we could have, even the TLD could be internationalized if we wanted. The technology has no restriction on this. So if the RFC, if we go through the RFC editor, then the RFC editor will publish it, the documents as RFC, and then at this time we will have a standard, you know, ITF standard. Before that publication, everything may happen. We could, you know, we are pretty confident that the technology seems to fit and there's a rough consensus on the way to go. But, you know, as any technology, and it happens in the past, the ITF, or as a whole, in the different, in the process of publishing, there's many, you know, possible, questions and or issues that could be raised, will delay, or, you know, go back to square one on working because people see or found some flaws. I would say also that our current technology is has some restrictions about language because we don't have the flexibility in the DNS. Because DNS has no real search engine, or it's pretty limited in terms of searching, and that's on purpose. Which means that to handle complex language issues, it's really up to impossible to do it. So in fact, it's like an identifier, you know, a typical English way of explaining this, which is sort of a very limited, but at least get some insight, is for the DNS right now, if you type center, C-E-N-T-E-R, or C-E-N-T-R-E, it's two different domain names. So on a larger scale, we have a lot of different issues depending on the language we're using. So whatever we decide in the last steps, we will have, it's a non-perfect language processing because language is for humans and DNS is not only for computers, but only, it's specifically for unique names and, you know, some direct matching. So what that means is there's a current work that has been discussed at the same time as the IDN is to have an additional level of searching, which is more fuzzy, which is based on John Kenson's proposal. John is the IEB chair, and actually VeriSign is contributing to this by a paper. It's called SLS, so there will be a Birth of a Feather session in Salt Lake City about related to that. So we may end up having either IDN, only IDN, or IDN, our current working group work, or IDN plus John Kenson proposal, or maybe John only, or only the John Kenson proposal, and get rid of IDN if people feel that, you know, we cannot do everything in IDN, and then we should do it on another layer. You asked me about talking about applications. Applications by themselves will have to be upgraded, and that's, I would say, not fairly minor, but related to a browser, it's fairly localized code, and it's very specific code. It's, to my knowledge, it's not, you know, a big issue, but it has to be done. The only essential problem with applications is to, you know, handle all the fonts and everything if they don't before right now, which is okay for, you know, browsers. They know how to manage all the fonts and all the character sets. However, some, you know, more basic internet applications might not have all that, you know, processing right now. For example, network management software may not, that will have some input of domain name. It's true that our current work is not, will spawn other work. For example, an obvious one is email addresses, meaning the left part of an address will, up to now, it's essentially ASCII, so users will have the left part in ASCII and the right part being internationalized. which looks like not really logical for the user point of view. So we might start email address internationalizing email addresses soon after our work will be done. One warning is on too early deployments. If we change, as you understand from the steps we have to do, it may happen that we change the encoding, the processing of the matching processing. So all those algorithms and documents may change over until it's published. So this means that if we do too early deployment, then a name could be no more valid. A name encoding could be changed, and if the name encoding is changed, then on the registry point of view, the zone file only has to be changed. But if people start to use that old IDN string, then they will put it in the web page on their business cards or whatever, something, and it may irk the users. The prefix defined will be defined in the last step of the publishing process, which means that any registration before that time will have to change the prefix too. And we may end up having a big change in the architecture if the ITF or the ISG find a big flaw or change their mind on, for example, going to John Clemson proposal instead of doing only the IDN. Users' issues, they will have to, it's true that essentially, we are based on the Unicode or ISO 10646 universal character set, which means that we support about everything, and this will surely raise a lot of discussions and on trademarks, copyright, dispute policies, and things like that. But this is not our. ITF is not, to my knowledge, involved in those discussions. Fonts and input method, for example, if I put on my business card a Chinese domain name and I don't have a Chinese keyboard, how do I enter this? So this probably means that people will either put an alternative version of their domain name for a while until everybody is upgraded and has all the keyboards, which may never happen, but they will probably have an alternative domain name to type. So either the gibberish version, or what we call the ACE for ASCII compatible encoding version, or the ASCII old version of the domain name, or not the ASCII old version, is the ASCII domain name as they do today, or maybe they will put those three domain names on the same business card. TLDs, it's true that maybe users, and I think Tintin, we could probably talk about it, but there was some discussion about having the TLDs being internationalized too, because that makes sense in the logical point of view for users. However, there is some consequences in terms of managing the TLDs. I would say for finishing that the ITF does the technical stuff. It's converging. It's not yet finished. There's no standard yet. And my advice is to make sure to not deploy until the work is finished, because then the consequences will be will hurt some users about we may end up changing our mind on, and this thing will only be clear when the RFC is published. So that's sort of my overall perspective on the ITF work.
Elizabeth, I have a question.
Thank you very much, Mark. Before you ask question, Marlene, I listened to two beeps when Mark was speaking. May I please announce yourself, the people who joined during Mark's presentation?
Elizabeth, this is Richard Tindall.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
And the second beep? Okay. Please go ahead, Marilyn.
Mark, it's Marilyn Kay from AT&T. You mentioned, and I'm on the business constituency and represent, on the Mains Council representing the business constituency. You mentioned that if the TLDs were internationalized, that would present other issues. Could you just say a bit about that?
Well, not technical issues again. That's I'm just meaning that for our technology work, internationalization is done on the label. So whatever part, either a TLD or a second level or third level, doesn't matter for the actual technology. However, if people internationalize the first level, meaning the TLDs, then this is, you know, up to, I mean, your work to make this happen if you want it. I mean, that's, in the sense, this, I mean, whatever TLD, internationalized TLD you want to do, that would have to be put in the root zone file and all that stuff. I mean, on the technical perspective, there is no issue at all, but on the policy, or then there is probably some.
right, and maybe on the business confusion and awareness side, there could be some issues as well.
Oh, yeah. my essentially comment was more that on the technical side, there is no, we could support it if you want it, and you know, that's up to you on deciding what to do with it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marilyn. Do we have another question? If not, I would like to ask one. My question is, Mark, I understand that there is no standard yet, that there are several options. Let us assume that in Salt Lake City you will decide for whatever ABC. Assume it is decided by the mid of December. When do you, how do you see the timeline of deployment?
Well, deployment is another thing. You know, the fact that we may decide in Salt Lake City or reach consensus on the last issues is one thing, and then we will have to go through the, the publishing or the ITF process, which means going to working group last call and then go sending to DIG, doing ITF board last call, and then, you know, all that process, which takes many weeks at least. That's fairly not going to happen. You know, I would be surprised that we will have an RFC in January. I would be really surprised, given actually also the important impact of IDN everywhere, because domain names are used in every kind of application, and it's seen in the ITF as an important work, and which has a lot of implication in terms of making sure that we understand the technology and there's no issues. So there is some concern, but at least some thinking about making sure that we don't make a big mistake here. This means, not say slow process, but at least some thinking process to make sure that everything is fine. So I would be surprised to have a standard in RFC, in January. May happen anywhere, anytime after January, I would say. After the RFC is published, then the deployment could happen. Since many registries right now are ready, or mostly ready for them, and some registrars, at least the VeriSign community. other registries which are involved in this. This means that those could deploy fast, registration, all the registries and putting in the zone file, because, unless we change our mind, the current architecture will be kept, and they will have time to make the small modifications to their applications or to their environment. However, then the vendors will have to upgrade their applications. We know that the major vendors are, I would say, aligned with our work, so we may see major vendors supporting the work. However, I mean, for example, if there's a new version of Internet Explorer or Netscape or something like that, you know, the fact that it's available doesn't mean that people will all download it the day after. Deployment will take many months and probably many years. The starting point is the RFC publication, which is for now not easy to forecast in terms of dates. It's maybe during the winter, during the spring, I don't know. It's difficult to know exactly in advance because of the implications of this work is seen as important for the ITF, as important implications. So it will, before people will publish it, they will make sure that, all the parties will have time to make their comments, verify, and, that kind of process.
I understand. Mark, I have a very short question, which is, techie-oriented. Does it mean that with the arrival of international domain names, all the people using Unix and not Microsoft Internet Explorer or Netscape will be condemned to not use international domain names?
I don't think it's relevant. I do have those two operating systems on my laptop. I have a FreeBSD and Windows. And I use both, with my French, and they have all the input methods and everything. We already have some, the main code is actually in public domain right now for the algorithms that we implement, which means that the open source community will probably take over that code and put it in all the, Mozilla, for example, or whatever email links or, whatever tools we have on the open source /Unix, Linux, FreeBSD, and all those. So I don't see any issue related to Microsoft versus Unix. All of them will support IDN, that's for sure.
Okay, thank you very much.
Elizabeth, Marilyn, I have a somewhat related question, however, can I?
Yes, of course, please go ahead.
Mark, in terms of thinking about deployment, though, for those of us who are running applications such as an AOL Time Warner or Excite, that are running applications where we do have a large number of users behind our systems, are we talking then about these vendors needing to get on board and make changes as well in updating so that, or are we going to be relying on each individual user even in that broadband environment, the broadband to the home environment, for instance?
What we're changing is the way we encode domain names.
Mm-hmm.
So this means that any application that show to the user a domain name or ask the user to input a domain name would be better if they are upgraded, because if they are not upgraded, then they will show to the user the the ACE version, the BQ-XYZ something, which doesn't look like his own script.
Uh-huh.
And if the user has to type a domain name, then if the application is not upgraded, then the application will, the user will have to type the, I mean, the ACE version, the BQ dash dash something. But it works. It's just a matter of, so we're the key thing here was, you know, not crashing or not making the DNS infrastructure, you know, unstable or have application that crashes. But in fact, I mean, over time, all applications that have input or, you know, showing domain names will have to be upgraded. And this also means that this also starts in some ways pushing the internalization of application because you would have to make sure that you have all fonts and you could, you know, show any script because the domain name could be from any script, so sort of it will push the industry to have fully internationalized environments. But
Elizabeth, this is Richard. I've got a question when you're ready.
Please go ahead, Richard.
So, and this is I apologize, Mark, this is a kind of layman's question, and I apologize if you've answered this 50 times over the last year, but it seems to me as an observer that a lot of the Asian countries, a lot of folks in the Asian countries seem to favor the UTF standards over an ASCII standard. I was wondering if you could, in sort of simple terms, explain to me why these folks seem to prefer UTF and what advantages there might be using the UTF standard over an ASCII conversion standard.
I'm not sure exactly on what you're referring or who you're referring because in terms of we do have a lot of Asians in our working group, actually a lot, and you know, many believe in the current architecture. So and actually you know, the Japanese and GPNIC and others. So you know, that your statement about, you know, most Asians, or I would say some Asians as well as some Europeans as well as some Americans believe that you know, the current architecture it should be better to use you know, another kind of encoding. And actually I was one of the authors of one of the documents because I want to, you know, try things until it crashes. Answer the question, so I think your statement about Asian is not correct. I would say that, you know, technical people in the community, not only Asians, but anywhere in the world, some of them, you know, think that the ACE encoding might not be the right thing to do. And that's fine. It's essentially an engineering compromise here, meaning that if we do something which has binary in it, which is not ASCII, then that means two things: is we need to change the DNS protocol to handle that, and we need to change the applications. And applications may crash in that context because they are not. They don't think they will receive a binary data, so they may crash or unexpected behavior. So, and the, changing the DNS infrastructure, meaning all the DNS servers in the world, is an important task. So, so the engineering compromise here is maybe, and even that it has to be, you know, discussed and was discussed, but, you know, even if maybe the UTF encoding could be better for some reasons, the actual impact is so big that, you know, it doesn't help, or, you know, it's too big for as an impact. So, I mean, ACE is, has much less impacts in terms of deployment and having, you know, the infrastructure being stable. You know, think about waiting until all DNS servers have been upgraded. I mean, that would be years before this could be done. So that's the actual discussion is not necessarily on the actual encoding. It's more because any encoding which is as some binary data as the implication of a large DNS infrastructure change and, you know, unexpected behaviors from applications.
Okay, thank you very much.
Excuse me, Mark, may I ask some questions? This is Kato.
Please, Kato-san, go ahead. Before you do so, I listened to beep. Please, people joining recently, introduce yourself.
Yes, hello, it's Richard and Matt from Brussels, Commission, European Commission, Directorate General Information Society.
Thank you, Richard. Somebody else, I listened to two beeps. Now, please, Kato-san, go ahead.
Well, Mark, thank you very much for your very comprehensive explanation of where you are at IETF. I have two specific but mutually related questions. One is about some recent proposal from some Asian countries where they are thinking about some necessity for simplified Chinese and traditional Chinese, and well, those probably you may call it the localization of questions. How IETF is going to treat this? I think you briefly covered this, but I want to have your thinking on this. And second question was about your reference to John Crenson approach, and could you elaborate that more? What is your thinking, as you said, as an alternative for DNS, or in addition to DNS, or if it's an alternative, what would be the schedule of discussing this?
Okay. First question was traditional versus simplified Chinese. That's currently a topic in the working group, and it's not yet finished, and we will continue discussing on the mailing list as well as in Salt Lake City. The objective of Salt Lake City for us is actually to try to build and reach consensus on the remaining discussion items. Traditional simplified Chinese is one. That's our goal. We'll see, how it goes. So I don't have any real answer on this about what would be the end result of this. The second question about John Crenson, right now the actual architecture, John Crenson proposal architecture is based on layers over the DNS, so this is not replacing the DNS, but it's over the DNS. So, in some simplistic way, when I will type for example, in Netscape, or when I type a name or a keyword or something, in some words, this will go through some search engine, and and there will be some processing. Some searching, and then you will receive some results, which may have 10, results, and then you will choose through it. And during that process, at the end, you will result to a domain name that will be resolved on the DNS. So that would be sort of the last step. So it actually adds another layer over the DNS, which will, the intent here is to resolve or have more flexibility for, handling language issues, localization, all those more complex things that cannot be done in the DNS.
Right. Well, in that sense, I understand that this is different from DNS. But I guess my question, when I say replacement or possibility of replacement, is: are you thinking this as the in addition to some internationalization of DNS, or well, get rid of DNS and internalization of domain names could be done through this, upper layer only, or both?
Well, right now two camps in the ITF about this thinking. In fact, some people think that it's we should not do IDN at all in the DNS and then do whatever internationalized things in the John Clinton, you know, architecture.
Right.
John Clinton being one of them actually believe in this. We could do both, meaning internationalize the domain names and then do whatever, you know, more complex rules and processing at the upper layers that John is specifying. So it may happen. It may. I would say that the probability is low, or very low, but it may happen that, that, you know, John Clinton will kill the IDN working group, you know, work, meaning if John really convinced everybody that that's the way to go and we should not do any internalization in domain names, then we're gone and we start from square one with the architecture of John's architecture. I would say that the probability is pretty low, but, you know, it may happen. I would probably guess that most people think that this is like another layer over our current work, and this would be an additional to our current work. But, you know, until there is an RFC, which is a standard, you know, everything can happen. In terms of, you asked about timelines or when, I mean, there's a buff in Salt Lake City about John, and actually the John proposal is in generic terms. There is no encoding and bits and bytes, things like that. It's fairly, you know, it's a lot of work to be done. I think the contribution from VeriSign, Leslie Daigle and Michael Meeling, is probably more, you know, technical, meaning as more bits and bytes on how to do it. But there's a lot of work to do there, so I would be surprised to have anything, you know, working in many months from now. So it's probably a more long-term or mid-term work on resolve additional, you know, to make the searching and matching more more flexible for the users, and this is probably many months or many years before this.
So in other words, well, the current IETF is leaning toward a DNS approach, which may not solve entire, you know, whole world of a language question. And if something remains in the application side, that could be picked up by John Clinton's approach on the upper layer.
Yes.
That's one possibility.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tato-san and Mark, for your discussion. I suggest we move to the next item on our agenda, which is IDN testbed overview by Pat Kane, I believe, from VeriSign.
Yes, hello, this is Pat, and basically I'm the IDM program manager from VeriSign for the deployment of the internationalized product. And my role is to take the technology that Mark just described and to navigate the cautions that he also, you know, offered up to best deliver an internationalized product for our customers. So this is a presentation on where we are in that process. If you return to page 2, there's a couple of items that we wanted to put forth as far as the purpose of this testbed was to create an environment so that we can become accustomed to working with IDNs and to best get some ideas about how the standards, as they are evolving, are deployed into production. Page 3, the guiding principles that we've worked with. Basically, the IETF standards we follow closely. We're currently using RACE. We are planning on moving to the ACE-Z, which is the current ACE preference, stay within the ICANN framework, and also to stay within a single root structure. Page 4, the testbed covers IDN registrations within ComNet and Org. And the technology that we're currently using, as I mentioned, was we're using NamePrep 3. and we're migrating from race to the current ace of ace to Z. Page 5. The testbed is open to all ICANN accredited registrars. To date, 35 registrars have certified within the testbed, and within the last 60 days, 26 registrars have actually made registrations within the testbed. Page 6 shows the breakdown of those 35 as far as what country they're from for certification. Page 7, in terms of the stage deployment to the whole program, in October of last year is when we actually opened up our testing environment to begin to certify the registrars. On the 10th of November of last year, we began registrations, and we began with Chinese, Japanese, and Korean registrations, and then we opened up the rest of Unicode 3.0.1 by April of this year. And then in January of this year, we began to resolve those internationalized domain names. And page 8 will break out the resolution stages that we have. The resolution was broken into three phases. The first phase was resolution to basically a stub page that said, congratulations, welcome to, you have reached a destination for using an internationalized domain name. Now, at that point in time, you could reach that page in two ways. You could either type in directly, --, ace representation, .mltbd.com. This was a third level delegation zone that we were hosting here at VeriSign. Or you could utilize the iClient provided by IDNS or the wallet tool to actually type, which are downloads, where you can actually type in the internationalizedcharacters.com that would also refer you to the same page. In phase 3.2, you were actually able to resolve to a website. We loaded up name server records and address records so that end users could access websites using the same tools, either typing in the bq-mltbd.com or typing in we were going to put race in the zone in June, but based upon changes in direction at the IETF, we backed off of that because race was dead as far as the ace, and we've gone through dude, and now we are up to AMC, ace, Z. So page 9 is just the identified date that I just talked about. 10th of November, we started registering IDNs. 26th of February, we introduced it to the extended Latin range, Greek, Cyrillic, and those that are included there. And then on April 5th, we opened up the rest of Unicode 3.0.1. Page 10, on May 2nd, as I said, resolution phase 3.2 began. On the 20th of June is when we started to leverage what we had with real names and using their technology as a bridging technology so that people would not have to download a client. And then in using Microsoft Internet Explorer, type in directly the internationalized.com, actually get to a website. Now that's just a bridging technology that we have in place to improve the end user experience. So they could get away from either the download or typing in the nonsensical BQ-. Now, in mid-January, is our current plan, move forward with putting ACE Z into the zone. Now, that, just from a resolution standpoint, we will continue to take registrations to place. We do not want the registrars to have to go through multiple version processes. So we only want to do that for one. We only want to do that one time. So once there's an RFC, then we will put in place the steps, registration to whatever that RFC is. And basically, right now, we believe that's going to be the Z that's currently drafted. Page 11. In the first quarter of next year is when we expect to see an RFC. As Mark has pointed out, you know, that may change because it is a lengthy process to get to an RFC. We also expect to introduce the new name prep draft 06, which is Unicode 3.1. About 43,000 new characters that would be available. Most of them are in the CJK, Chinese, Japanese, Korean range. There are some symbols that are there, musical symbols, and then there's some older languages as well. So basically, once that takes place, we believe that we would start to certify registrars in the second quarter of next year, and every registrar that is currently certified for race will have to recertify for the ACE, which is in the RFC, so that we can actually start to take registrations in that ACE in the third quarter of next year. Now, some of the key points that we've tried to point out to registrars and registrants from the beginning of the testbed, that this is a testbed and things are apt to change. The uniqueness of each domain is based upon its Unicode points, not the ACE representation. And all the IDN, all the transactions are within our IDN, or within the shared registration system, and they apply the same rules apply as current registrations within the SRS, and that is first come, first served. Page 13, we tried to point out all along that the IETF has not finalized the standards, and that we are basically trying to move with them, and in cases where a change in standards causes the IDNs to become invalid, that they may be deleted, and we would handle those on a case-by-case basis. The current move from race to ACE-Z, there are no IDNs within the testbed that would become invalid because of the move to ACE-Z. Now, had we gone to DUDE, there would have been 101 that were invalid and would have had to have been revoked. So that's basically where we are with the testbed. So are there any questions?
I have one question. Danny Younger speaking.
Yes, Danny.
You made the contention that you had adopted the first come, first served preference. Why that particular choice in view of the obvious intellectual property concerns that may have preferred something akin to what we have in affiliates and other rollouts at the moment?
What we've used all along is the UDRP to handle intellectual property issues. And first come, first serve is in line with how we are currently doing business.
There is the issue that involvement with domain name disputes want information in the SRS.
Let me ask an ancillary question there. This is Richard Tindall. To what extent do you all think that the UDRP infrastructure is ready for the many and unique issues associated with this?
Ask that again, Richard.
To what extent do you think that the UDRP infrastructure, you know, the systems and the people that manage it and the documentation and the processes, the whole shebang, to what extent do you think that that system is ready to accept and deal with the many, I suspect, new, unusual issues associated with ML UDRP disputes?
The principles, of course, are the same, whether it's an IDN or whether it's an ASCII domain name. So in that sense, now obviously it would increase volume just as any increase. increase in registrations would increase volume. Understanding from Roger Cocchetti and his team and working with WIPO that they've actually explored that with Francis in WIPO and feel like they are more than able to handle that. Our understanding, at least from WIPO, which is just one of the providers, that they feel like they can handle that okay. Michael, you want to add something there?
Well, again, I think that's one of the underlying reasons why this conference is being held this week, is to get a sense to confirm their readiness to deal with these issues and try to understand where they may not have fully evaluated all of the possible ramifications of accepting the responsibility for applying UDRP principles to internationalized names.
This is Kato. May I add one comment?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, that's part of the ICANN's internationalized domain name working group study we did from March until September. Probably you remember hundreds of pages of a report issued from this working group, and we identified the area how we impact the dispute resolution process, including UDRP. For verisign.com.org and .net, UDRP is a process. But for all CCTLDs, they have their either own DRPs or many CCs adopting the UDRP for their process. So the question you're asking is what impact we have for entire dispute resolution process for the domain names if we have some sort of IDN. And the next series of question is what kind of IDNs we are talking about. If we are talking about IDN.com, well, they are already using a UDRP, and the question here is how internationalized the process is. For instance, I'm speaking this basically for myself at this point, but I expressed this concern already many times. For the current four UDRP providers, including the WIPO, are not pretty much equipped for the internationalized disputes in terms of the non-English speaker panelists and UDRP process. Itself is not non-English based. If you go to some of those sites online, they are not using, for instance, Japanese or Chinese or Arabic for their online dispute resolution. They are using English basically, and some French and Spanish to some extent. But again, it's very English centric. But this is UDRP. But if we go on multilingual type of TLDs in the future, if we go there, we may need much more issues, among different countries. Multilingual could be CCTLD type. In that case, this could, have more impact. So it depends on what type of multilinguals or IDNs we are talking about, and how internationalized we should for the dispute resolution. Thank you.
It's Marilyn. I understand. I too have been talking with the WIPO folks about how ready they think they are. I think there's another question, Richard, about how ready the present holders of domain names are as well, in terms of understanding that they are going to have to be able to support whatever the mechanism is, and by that I mean the corporate holders of famous brands, etc., as well as individuals who hold trademarks. There's no single place to go to capture those folks to check on their status, but it's beginning to be a topic of discussion within the famous brand holders companies, the companies who hold brands that are about like the top 20 recognized globally.
This is Chuck. If I could follow up on Kato's point, because Kato's point is really important. regard to language support in the UDRP. My comments obviously were related to just volume. But one of the customer concerns that has come out in the test bed has been that it's quite difficult for the users in non-English speaking countries, especially in Asia, where we receive most of the concerns expressed, to participate in the UDRP process because it is primarily in English. And so one of the things, and this is information that we've passed on in surveys and other forums, that's going to be important for the UDRP process is to get providers that will support the UDRP process in key languages. And it's my own personal opinion that one of the best ways for that to happen is for the demand to be created for that. So the sooner that there actually is a real need there, the more likely providers will step forward. And I think some already have put in proposals to ICANN. So I think that process is a very important one, and it will be very important for the international community to for the UDRP process to be provided in their languages.
Chuck, if I may follow up on that, could I ask what is being done to enhance language support at the registrar level? I participated in the initial rollout last November, and I can tell you that sitting where I was at in customer support, it was an absolute disaster. We had folks calling in that could barely speak English that we're trying to communicate with.
Yeah, Danny, as you well know, it's not my place to speak for the registrars because they are our customers. But I think it is very fair to say that that varies very much by registrar. There are registrars in, as you can see by the chart that Pat showed, in quite a few non-English speaking countries. And I think you would find that their support, in contrast to the support in a U.S.-based registrar, is more oriented towards their particular community.
Can we look to the lines of perhaps accrediting registrars on a language-by-language basis?
We would have to change the policies of accreditation, Danny, to do that.
All right, I'm just wondering whether this might be wise in the long run, as long as we're planning things out now.
Well, excuse me, this is Kato again. You know, like just maybe that as a part of UDRP review, for instance, you may want to touch upon some of the criteria for the accreditation for those UDRP providers. I'm not suggesting grossly change the fundamentals there. UDRP provider should be as, global as possible. But with some local expertise may be important. You may want to balance those two slightly different requirements.
By the way, this is Richard Lindsay. I joined about 15 minutes ago. Unfortunately, the time transcribed at the bottom of the time chart were wrong for Japan, so I didn't bother adding myself.
Can we Tan from Singapore just joined in a few minutes ago.
Same problem.
And also YJ.
Hello, YJ. Hello, Tin Wee Tan, and hello, Richard Lindsay. Do you mean that we made a mistake with the local time in your country?
Unfortunately, 9 plus 13 is not 23, so that's my fault. And I didn't bother adding it myself, and my watch doesn't say UTC, so I just looked at the bottom. I think maybe there's an assumption of a time change, but there's not in Japan, so.
Well, please accept my apology. We will check what happened later. Thank you very much for joining.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
I was going to say, the question about the registrar portion, I know for our registrar in Japan, I mean, the UDRP we have all completely translated. And then the bigger problem with the multilingual.com issues were names that were registered in North America, in many cases, were registered by cyber squatters who were smart enough to register things in foreign languages. And in that case, for someone looking to the registrar, most of the larger companies that did well in multilingual didn't have, other than the registration pages, didn't do all the support pages in Japanese and didn't have support staff. So that was a problem.
One of the things that I think is has proven to be helpful in the test bed is the lessons like this that are coming to the surface, so that we don't wait until we fully have a standard. If all these things had to be learned all at once, it would take even longer for those users in non-English speaking countries to get the service that they need. So what's happening now is we're learning a lot is going to help the eventual full rollout of IDNs across all registries.
Thank you very much, Chuck. I am happy we have Dr. Pinvitan online. We have been listening to presentation by Marc Blanchet and by Pat Kane. Would you mind please now give us your presentation?
Yeah, sure. Could I just find out who are present in the audience? I assume that
I will try to recapitulate.
Everyone is here because some of us from Asia have been given the wrong timing. We are 1 hour late, actually.
I understand. I'm sorry. We have in the audience, and if I happen to miss somebody, please tell at the end. We have Tinvitan, Pat Kane, Scott Hollenberg, Michael Eisenberg, Chuck Gomez, Marc Blanchet, Massano Bucato, YJ Park, Greg Woods, Richard Tindall, Richard Lindsay, Marilyn Cade, Richard Delmas, Danny Younger, myself, Elizabeth Portner, and Glenn DeSangeri and Philippe Renaud from the Secretariat.
Okay.
Did I miss somebody? No.
Thank you very much for giving me an opportunity to speak to and address the Names Council. I appreciate that. And in this regard, I'd like to say that there are several topics that I could speak on, and probably these will take at least half an hour each. Of course, we do not have that much time, so I'll just be as brief as I can. And I'd like just to step through, if the chairperson would allow me, briefly into three of those items which were highlighted on the web page. Is this all right?
Yes, please.
Thank you. First of all, regarding the administration and management of IDN TLDs, I think over time we will realize that the issue of one language or one script is open to many imponderables which we've only begun to understand. And I think a few moments ago regarding URDP and registration, I think we more or less understand that even at the registration point of view, there are many things that they're learning all the time. So in that regard, with regard to administration and management of IDNs, there are even more imponderables. And essentially, the take-home message is beginning to seem as if one size doesn't quite fit all. The question here is that will legacy TLD unified routes survive, or will there be open NIC type inclusive route models emerging if we do not come up with good policies and administration and in the management of IDN TLDs that will facilitate and allow for the various differences among the different languages and the different usage of scripts? Well, why do I say this? Well, because it's more or less understood from the ASCII character set that many different languages do share this particular character space. And we have more or less learned how to live within an ICANN authority framework. And when it comes to one language, one script, one country type of scenario, possibly ancient Icelandic spoken only in Iceland, for example, using one particular script that is not shared with any other, then or Hebrew perhaps in Israel, although I'm told that some Yiddish folks actually speaking folks actually do use the Hebrew character, but I understand that these are few, very few in number. But essentially, the simplest example would be one language, one script, one country, and probably that will fit into the current legacy unified roots model. However, when we start looking at other languages that we come across, and of course, in the case of Japan, we have here one language, many scripts, and one country, essentially one country, where most Japanese are congregated in Japan. Of course, there are many Japanese folks living overseas, but essentially, more or less, all, most Japanese will look towards Japan as the home base, if not all Japanese. And here we say, well, okay, that's fine so far. We may still have that kind of, old model applying and basically try to squeeze all the different scripts into one country's authority. But, mind you, Japanese uses, language uses three, if not four different scripts ranging from katakana, kirigana, the kanji Han character set, parts of the Han character set, and the, of course, Romaji, and some would argue, would be part of the Japanese character set. But the use of the Han characters in particular causes significant problems, as we are realizing from the IETF IDN working groups, and I believe Paul Hoffman may have briefed you on the current delays which we are in right now debating over. Was it Mark who briefed you? Yes, it's Mark Blanchet who briefed you. And I wasn't there for the meeting, I apologize for that. And but I assumed that he would have updated you. And one of the big arguments going on in the IDN working group right now is essentially arguing over whether to do traditional simplified Chinese character folding or not. And here we see Japanese character set involved, in particular the script that uses the Han character set, it overlaps with the Chinese folks and the Koreans. And what that may apply to Chinese people may, and the Chinese language may not quite apply to the Japanese folks, and the same with Korean. So here we see sharing of by many, more than one language, one particular script, and in particular for the Han character set, Chinese people use that that range in Unicode. Japanese character people use some of the some of those ranges, and so also the Korean. And each of these groups of language speakers basically want to have special features incorporated into the implementation that will help facilitate their own particular interests and particular needs, which may cause problems with other languages that use that same script. So, just even the characters Nihon in Japanese, the same characters and same glyphs actually occurs in Chinese. So, question arises, who gets to control this? Who gets to decide who issues this and who gets to be the authority and who gets to delegate? So, here we have this another size appears now. How do we deal with one script with many languages and a few countries involved? So far, JET has fortunately been able to pull Japanese, Chinese, Korean researchers to work together and find out the solution. So that's wonderful. Great. We hope that there will be some developments there that will show the way forward for this size, right, of one script, many languages, and a few countries. Then again, we have another category like Arabic, where we have, just like the Han characters, that's one script, but many languages using this, and not just that, many, many countries involved, like in excess of 24 countries that lay claim to the Arabic script as their own national language. That, okay, I'm using language and script interchangeably, but essentially, in the case of Arabic script, there are more than one language that use the Arab script, including folks who speak Farsi and the folks that speak Urdu, and also some of my Malaysian neighbors up north in, from Singapore who actually use the Arabic script for their particular variant of Arabic, which is called Jawi. So here we see one Arabic script with many different languages using the character set, just like in the Khan character case, but not just three or four different countries or economies involved, but many countries and essentially more than two dozen involved. So in that scenario, whereas the JET can pull together more or less People's Republic of China, Taiwan, or Chinese Taipei as de facto refer to Taiwan, Japan, and South Korea to get to some kind of consensus, here we see that in the Arabic situation, there are so many countries, and we are going to get into a very big nightmare if we do not get the size right. So here we see one size may not fit all. Then again, we have another situation where there are no countries involved. No one country would lay claim to a language, say, like Tamil, where one script, which has many forms, and I am particularly involved in this particular language because I'm one of the founding members of the International Forum for IT in Tamil, and here we see a lot of them still trying to resolve issues relating to fonts. Fortunately, there's one script, there's only one language that uses the Tamil script, but no country would own up to it. Sure, there are a few countries like Singapore that would say that Tamil language is one of our official language, but they are certainly, Tamil speakers are in the minority. Say, for example, the home of the Tamil language is in Tamil Nadu. And Tamil Nadu is not a government, it's not a country, but it is a state. And the authority there is actually a state government in India. So, does the federal government become the authority, or should maybe the delegation be to the state authority? So these are big questions that are fairly complex. And how do all the Tamil-speaking communities in the Tamil diaspora, stretched from India right across to Silicon Valley, where possibly 30% of the Indian population, Indian programmers are actually Tamil-speaking. So there's quite a significant population of Tamilian or Tamil-speaking people that are outside the country. So here we see that outside their state, I beg your pardon. So the state of Tamil Nadu. So there is a so-called Tamil diaspora, and how do we group them together here? So in this regard, for Tamil-speaking people, what I've done is try to engage the INFITT folks to really seriously look into this, and there. In that particular case, there is some degree of proportional representation of Tamil-speaking communities throughout the world that are gathering together to figure out what's best for their language. Finally, we have one script, one language, no country model, where the likes of Tolkien languages, and I understand that just before Christmas there'll be a Lord of the Rings hitting the scene, and of course some of us may know that the Unicode Consortium is actually looking at Tolkien languages being placed into the Unicode space. So what about those communities where it's one script, one language, and it's actually a so-called fictitious type of language where there is a significant following of people, maybe not to the proportion of country status or even state status, but there is there may be these people who want to use their language. So here we see administration and management of IDN TLDs is fairly complex, and the model of CC TLD type scenarios may not actually fit all these scenarios that I painted. And all these scenarios are real instances with real people that do exist right now, currently trying to figure out and make sense of the new frontier that's opening up before us. So Tamil People, International Forum for IT in Tamil, INFITT.org. Arabic script, well, we have the Multilingual Internet Names Consortium has been helping them out with their formation of the Arabic Internet Names Consortium. And the Urdu-speaking people, well, we have an Urdu working group that handles that those particular groups of people, and trying to get them to talk to to the Arabic Internet Names Consortium, AINC. So, to summarize, language or script, one size doesn't quite fit all, and we can see that coming, and we should really address, start to think about these issues, which are fairly complex. And now I'd like to turn to, if I may, IDNA, interoperability testing of the localization or folding and or folding and IDNA name threat is or whatever emergent IETF standards. You would have heard from Marc Blanchet already that the IETF working group is coming close to those emergent standards. And in this regard, the MINC, the Multilingual Internet Names Consortium, has announced many months ago that we would want to do interoperability testing because many months ago we thought that the IETF standards were pretty imminent. However, there were delays, and the delays were not gratuitous delays, but serious delays that arose because interesting and serious issues did crop up. So in addressing those, I think IETF has come a long way, and as far as they could ever achieve, bearing in mind the complexity of the issues involved. And we are here with a situation where IDNA probably will be the adopted standards with the possibility of name prep, including folding, perhaps not, we don't know yet, and definitely AMCA's conversion. We now have the situation where many vocal parties in the IDN working group are very keen on issues that might be classified as localization. Some people would consider traditional Chinese and simplified Chinese interconversion or mapping or folding, whatever you like to call it, as localization issues. So here we see almost a standoff between those for it and those against it. Also on the issue of reordering, again, we see some of these localization issues creeping into the internationalization of the domain names framework. Whatever the case, wherever we draw the line between localization and internationalization, whatever the IETF finally chooses, we do have to do interoperability testing, and MINC currently is working with Via Jenny to figure out how we can proceed on this, and we are extremely interested, Mark, as you may know, to proceed here. Hello?
Yes, we are listening, yes.
Yes, and so I'm running out of time, and I just finally want to say that the future scenario of, I'd like to move on the third part, and briefly mention to you the possibilities of future scenarios of above DNS layers of internet names and identifiers. And the issues there are even more complex. We have here the impending scenario. Perhaps I missed the presentation by Pat Kane. Did Pat Kane give the presentation?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed your presentation, but I assume that you may have mentioned the possibility of VeriSign together with real names and Microsoft moving ahead with keyword types of IDNs.
No, it was not mentioned.
No, this is Chuck, no, we did not, because that's not, other than the real names that's being used as a service in place of resolution, because it's taken so long for standard to be developed, the real name services are not part of the IDN test bed. Did I say that right, Pat?
Yes. I mean, basically, we're using it as just a bridging technology to basically improve the user experience.
Yeah, so I believe that there is an impending effort to create ML, multilingual.multilingual, in the form of internet keywords for immediate resolution, and this is fairly imminent as far as VeriSign is concerned.
I have not made any announcements in that regard.
Yes, I understand you have not made any announcements as yet, but I understand that it is imminent. So is that a fair assumption to make? Because the comment in Part C is dependent on this particular scenario.
I can't even answer that. I've been on the phone for 6 weeks, and I don't know that it's a fair assumption.
Right, okay. So let's put it, then I shall anonymize it and sanitize it, if that's okay. All right.
Excuse me. May I follow up on this one, Jack?
Yes.
But it is very important for all of us to know, if possible, like imagine at the relay meeting, many people were anxious. What was exactly... VeriSign is going to plan. If it's the VeriSign's position not to disclose with notice about your plan, that's fine. But if you know that your planned business is something you can announce to the world, please let us know. I don't like to see too much surprise and too much negative reactions. If that's the case, and that was the sense of the call in Marina del Rey. So again, I hope we understand about the facts better here. And if VeriSign itself is planning to do something like that kind of multilingual type of resolution by using a keyword, please let us know.
And Kato, let me. I think that I can confidently say that we will continue to communicate with you and with ICANN as we move forward on these things, even on issues that are not directly related to the ICANN agreement, but ones that relate to this subject matter.
Thank you. And, whether it is relating to ICANN is not within the context of VeriSign ICANN agreements only. I think that's something we have to discuss more too. But I appreciate your continued communication with us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kato-san. So should I or should I not create this scenario possibility of application or vendor independent keyword internet keywords that may overlap with IDNs. Should I or should I not?
I don't think that keywords are an issue within the ICANN environment, other than their indirect impact, as Kato has indicated. So I'm not sure where you're going on with that.
Well, was it Chuck? Yeah.
I guess I can follow up on that point. I'm not the person to speak for the nature of this meeting on a conference call, but Mark mentioned about IETF activities, which was also covering something other than the domain name system. Because it has some impact on indirect impact on the domain name system. He specifically talked about John Cranson's idea about some upper layer applications and some of the localization issues that DNS system may not handle. So in that sense, it would be very much informative for all of us to understand what surrounding issues around. Surrounding DNS.
Thank you very much, Kato-san. So, do I take it that from the chairperson that I should proceed with this?
Yes, please do so. I believe that we are all interested, and Kato-san is perfectly correct that Marc Blanchet did mention about John Clancy's ideas. So, please proceed.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman. appreciate this opportunity again. I was seriously struck in Marina Del Rey when somebody came up to me, a person of chief executive status, that explained to me that he saw no reason why internet keywords could replace internet domain names, and that implementation of internet domain names in the form of keywords should have no problems whatsoever, whether it meant being able to key in domain name-like keywords, something dot something, in not just in ASCII, but possibly in all the various languages, whether mix ML.ML or ML. Existing TLDs, in all these contexts. And the CEO told me that, who shall remain nameless, actually told me that he saw no reason why we shouldn't allow this kind of thing, and that it may even extend to email addresses, and he saw no problems with that, and tried to explain to me why he saw that one should be perfectly justified in proceeding with this kind of scenario. So I tried to explain to him the dangers of confusing internet keywords, which are, of course, outside, as an application, would probably be classified as outside the purview of ICANN, and confusing the issue of internet keywords with internationalized domain names. This was something that alarmed me quite a fair bit, and which is why that I started to think a little bit more about the issues surrounding this. Keyword resolution systems, even within the context of IDNA, allow us the facility of matching specific strings of names, possibly even identifiers, to some kind of internet resource, whether it be URLs or domain names. However, if we start to allow internet keywords that allow that look like domain names, then we are possibly venturing in the realm of confusing users and registrars and registrants and registries as to what is the difference between domain names and internet keywords. Well, to the user, one would say that, well, it's just a string of characters, and whether you call it names or identifiers, who cares? It's just a string that happens to be separated, string of characters that happen to be separated by dots. And that bears some resemblance to the www.something.tld of some kind. But the problem here is that at the engineering level, confusing these two things might reach lead to serious consequences of unknown proportions. And I would seriously encourage all parties who may or may not be interested in dealing in this, looking into this area, to seriously consider. And if there are parties that are seriously considered to implement this, to actually think again because of the various implications. I am not saying that you should or should not do it, because it is all a matter of business expediency and other considerations, which I am not, I do not wish to make any pronouncement or whatsoever in this regard, and would like to remain judgment neutral and regarding this. However, I would like to point out that if we start having multilingual, not multilingual, implemented at the keywords layer, that makes multilingual or internationalized domain names look like keywords or vice versa, then there are many issues which surround this potential confusion that needs to be ironed out, and there needs certainly to be more and more discussion relating to this possibility before it should be let loose on, whether in the form of a test bed or other. There are some people who think that this will pave the way for the future scenarios of above DNS layers, that is, the John Clancy models that I think Mark Blanchet has spoken of. this is a natural process of evolution whereby we put additional layers of naming systems on top of the existing ones that we have, and avoid overloading the lower layers with too much things that they were not designed for. I fully appreciate this attempt by the Internet Engineering Task Force community to address these issues of expanding the range of services by layering on top of domain names and IP addresses, new services at the top, top layers, layer 2, layer 3, and so on. This is an important development, but should not be confused with internationalization of domain names, and I'm pleased to note that the IETF IDN working group has been very clear in making this distinction, in clarifying the issues, in trying to go forward and draw closure to the IDN working group of IETF, to draw closure on that area so that we can move ahead. And I certainly applaud this IETF movement in that direction. However, the IDN process has started, and it should draw closure pretty soon, and we should not allow these possibilities of confusing the IDN objective. So, application of vendor-independent internet keywords, if implemented, means that we have to ensure that dialogue among all the different vendors, the real names of this world, the net PRs of this world, and many more, I'm sure, to come, the people who are offering internet keywords, how to identify which application vendor is delivering what particular range of keyword services, so that we can better understand how to address problems when it comes to collision of names in all the different scripts and in all the different languages in all the various geographical localities worldwide. So if applications now allow users of specific applications to use certain keywords, then it must be known to them that these keywords are not application or vendor independent, globally and accessible, unique keywords. Just like the AOL system, everybody knows, well, it only works, AOL keywords only work within the AOL framework. But that's because users understand that. But when we start moving up into these above DNS layers of internet names and identifiers, then we need to address the issue of how to ensure that these above DNS layers namespaces are non-colliding, and that there is some kind of framework whereby users will understand that when I use Joe's Pizza, I know I'm not accessing Siberia, Novosibirsk, Corner Street number 5, Joe's Pizza there, but it's Joe's Pizza in Singapore, right? So in this regard, I think there are a lot of imponderables in those areas, and certainly we need more discussion in this area before we charge ahead with something new. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tim Vitan. Thank you very much to our other speakers. Do you have any questions?
Madam Chair, I have a question.
Please, go ahead. It is Danny Younger.
It is. The policy question that I'm looking at is, we've been discussing layers on top of the DNS. I question, does ICANN's coordination authority extend to these layers? That is to say, John Clemson's model, which indicates a three-layer approach on top of the DNS, or keywords as an example of a naming system on top of the DNS, is this our bailiwick, or is ICANN, by definition, not a player in this realm?
Is this question addressed to me?
No, it's a general policy question to the group. We're here, some of us, trying to look at policy considerations that will affect the user community ultimately. And I have to ask if we're going to be talking about elements such as keywords, we need to understand, is this an area of ICANN concern? Is this part of our mission specifically?
Dan, it's Marilyn. Could I ask the question maybe a little bit differently?
Yeah, go ahead, Marilyn.
I think from the business user perspective, we would ask the question in the following way, and I think it's kind of similar, Danny, and that is there something going on that affects the stability of the Internet that, therefore, the constituencies and the other, the names council, excuse me, the DNSO and the other SOs should be involved in advising ICANN on. And if it involves the stability and interoperability of the Internet, then that would be an area of concern, I think. Jenny, is that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm looking at the fact that keywords are resolving across one browser system but not across another. And if ICANN goes ahead and sanctions technology that essentially creates these kind of headaches for certain users, then essentially we're doing now what we said the alternate root community was doing.
Mark speaking. You know, however, I'm essentially technical, and I don't want to move to the policy space. I would say right now that the John Tenson proposal is still, you know, without saying it's finished, it's essentially an idea, and we are far from, you know, right now consideration on if this could or would impact, you know, ICANN policy in some ways. You know, to me it looks fairly too preliminary to go discussing that. Even if I understand your question and your concern, it seems to me too early right now to try to envision, you know, what would be the consequences, because it's, again, it's still an idea, and I think that people work more on that, you know, are Leslie Daigle and Michael Mealing from VeriSign with their, you know, technical proposal, which is not, you know, again, also finished. So I would say right now to postpone that, the answer of that question, for a few months until we have a more better idea of where we're going with this.
Yeah, Tim Wittan here speaking. I absolutely agree with what Mark is saying, and also underscore Marilyn Cates. I presume it was Marilyn Cates, right, who spoke?
Yes.
Her point that that anything that that affects the stability of the Internet and does not work in the interest of all the stakeholders and the public interest of all those people who use the Internet should probably come under ICANN's radar screen. As Danny Younger pointed out, whether ICANN should become that authority or not, it's and still an open question, because it would probably fall at this particular point a bit just outside of ICANN's immediate charter. Falling outside of its charter of authority does not mean that it should not come under its radar screen for comment. And of course, ICANN alone does not work in isolation from other groups. For example, the IDN working group situation would be a clear example of where issues that are not within the charter of expertise of IETF, they defer it to organizations like the Unicode Consortium, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm sure ICANN, it does not work in isolation with other organizations worldwide, and in areas that they are within the charter of other organizations and within the charter of within the expertise of other organizations, I'm sure ICANN would find arrangements that will allow them to coexist and cooperate with these other expert groups and other chartered groups. So it's still an open question as to whether application independent keywords. Okay, what Danny Younger was saying, well, we have some applications that use this set of keywords. Okay, it works on Netscape, it doesn't work on Internet Explorer. So we have two groups of people who use Internet Explorer, well, you can see these keywords, but Netscape users, you won't see those keywords, or you could go somewhere else with those keywords. And if you use the same keywords for AOL, well, you go somewhere else. These are application and vendor dependent keywords. user knows that it only works within the scope of the application, within the scope of that vendor. They are clear that it is not an internet-wide keyword. However, if there are application or vendor-independent keywords emergent, then it is certainly within the scope of an organization like MIMC, which I represent, the Multilingual Names Internet Names Consortium, that has put into its charter, written into its charter more than a year back, predicting this possibility of internet-wide keywords, multilingual internet-wide keywords that are application or vendor independent, almost foreseeing something like what John Clemson has proposed. And we are actively looking into this, and we are trying to talk with IETF to find out whether we could have some kind of dialogue in this in the form of a BOF or a MIG BOF close to or possibly together in the IETF Salt Lake City meeting. Of course, we understand fully that IETF does not normally have such joint meetings with other organizations, but we are working out something with John Clinton on that.
This is Kato. May I make one comment?
Please go ahead.
Short comment. On that question about the scope of, for instance, ICANN's on internationalized domain names, again, I'm speaking just for myself at this point. ICANN's IDN committee has just launched, and we do not have any conclusion or anything at this point. I do appreciate your comments on this question. What is right scope of ICANN IDN committee? Well, some people might say the committee is very, you know, mission is very narrow, not to include anything other than DNS system itself. That's the only area ICANN's technical management is about. So some people may say that anything which has direct or indirect impact on DNS may be part of the consideration. And I'm very open to ask those questions. Therefore, I do not like to close the discussion on IDN committee only to DNS at this point. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kato-san. We will have it noted in the minutes of this teleconference. We arrive at the end of 2 hours call. Do we still have questions you would like to ask our experts? If not,
Elizabeth, this is Chuck. I'd just like to make one request.
Uh-huh.
The Names Council IDN Task Force, I would certainly appreciate it if conclusions are made with regard to the IDN testbed by the task force in the future, that the task force do due diligence and certainly confirm them with us, because there were an awful lot of false statements made in actions preceding the Marina Del Rey meetings with regard to the IDN testbed, and I think it would be very unfortunate for the task force to make decisions based on false information.
I completely agree with you, Chuck, and one of we needed to understand what's going on, and we are very grateful to VeriSign to provide us information, and you are absolutely correct that we need to understand what's going on, and we need to accept that the technology is going to be developed, and VeriSign is going to continue the work they started, provided that this work is well defined and everybody understands what will happen.
Elizabeth?
Yes?
This is Vijay. Since I didn't participate in the early part of the teleconference, I just wanted to figure out what was the follow-up about the terms of reference. because when I read the Thompson your update, the number 3, which about the CCPIB managers and their decision about the naming policy restrictions. And since you are from also CCPLD constituency, you may know the sensitivity of their responses about this issue. So do you think it's proper to still incorporate that CCPLD issues in the NSO? Because as far as we have experience in the NSO, there was no case we dealt with the CCTLDs directly, so that's the reason CCTLDs, as you know, announced their own movement go ahead with the CCSO. And this is going to be the first time the NSO is claimed, the NSO is dealing with the CCTLDs. Do you still feel comfortable with this?
Elizabeth, excuse me, and YJ, excuse me for interrupting, this is Chuck, but I have to go to another meeting, so I am going to have to get off this call, and the other VeriSign people will as well. So certainly, if you have more questions of us, please let me know.
Thank you very much, Chuck. YJ is raising an important question, and I cannot, I don't believe I can answer this question just within a few seconds on the call. It is a complicated question. I do believe personally, and it is only my personal opinion, that international domain names is something crossing top-level domains, and it requests probably for consultation between people working within GTLD scheme under ICANN authority and people working within their countries. But it is a large topic, and I cannot answer here on the call. This is very a political question. And whatever ICANN structure, whatever number of supporting organization, this is definitely the topic across TLDs or across supporting organizations. So I suggest it will be put as the outstanding important question. Before we close the call, we are going to have a summary drafted by the Glenn DeSangeri, who is our scribe for this teleconference. I will post this summary of the call to all of us. I believe also that it would be appropriate we figure out the next steps. Do we wish to how we wish to continue to work within this task force? And it may be more appropriate to deal with this issue on the mailing list. Thank you very much to everybody for joining the call, and see you on the email. And I hope that we will gather important topics for next discussion and agenda.
Elizabeth, it's Marilyn. Thank you for letting me join you. It was excellent. I really appreciate the learning experience.
Thank you very much, Marilyn, for joining. I believe that we are a lot of need to learn a lot. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. We MINC really appreciates this opportunity to participate in this process. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to me, thank you very much to AETF, thank you very much to VeriSign, and thank you very much to everybody.
Thank you, and see some of you in Geneva tomorrow.
In 2 days.
In 2 days, yes. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. See you, Carlos.